Last year there was a movie, The Incredible Hulk. Have you seen the movie? Put up your hand if you have watched the movie. Only one of you have watched the movie. It's okay, it is not like a movie Christians should not watch. I'm just checking who has seen the movie. What happens when the Incredible Hulk is angry? Exactly. To turn into an angry, powerful green giant, and whoever or whatever around will be in trouble. Big trouble. Rip apart walls, he will throw cars at people. When he stumbles on the wall, there will be an earthquake. Even the ceiling cannot stop him. He'll jump and then he'll break through the ceiling. There was a helicopter trying to attack him, and then he'll just catch something really big, probably the piano, and then throw it at the helicopter, and the helicopter will fall. Who is the Incredible Hulk? Who is the Incredible Hulk? Before the transformation, who is he? His true name is Dr. Bruce Banner. He is a physicist. He can transform into the Incredible Hulk, but that's not what he really wants to happen. He will try hard to control his anger because he knows the consequences of his anger can cause huge disasters, can hurt innocent people, or even kill innocent people. Not to mention what damage will be caused to the buildings and the environment. The first movie was directed by Ang Lee. And then in 2008, the movie was remade. In this movie, the Incredible Hulk tried really hard to control his anger, even trying to learn from a great martial artist some meditative breathing techniques that will help him to control his heart rate so that he can control his anger and not be transformed into a monster that would hurt other people. He was able to do that successfully for 158 days according to the movie, and then he lost control again. Do you know everyone has the potential to be the Incredible Hulk? You might say, I don't have the big muscles. I cannot cause such damage. I cannot kill or hurt. You know what? When the anger develops in your heart and you lose control, you're controlled by your anger, the consequences can be equally devastating. You can just pick up a pencil and stab someone and someone will die. You can pick up a chair and then slam on someone. Someone will be seriously injured. You can even use your keys. Everything you see around can be used as a weapon. When you are not controlled, when you are instead controlled by anger, even a weak child or a fragile woman can kill. I've read stories about a weak wife killing the husband with a knife in the kitchen. It was supposed to be used for cooking, but she used that to kill the husband. So, the power, devastating, destructive power of the Incredible Hulk is caused by anger. Ultimately, it's something that's deep inside in his heart, and everyone has the potential to cause such damage in our lives. So the real destructive power is not in the muscles, it is in the heart. What is anger? What causes anger which would result in such aggressive and destructive behavior? How can we manage our anger so that we won't end up like the Incredible Hulk? Some of you might even say, I like Incredible Hulk. He's powerful, he has great power, and yet you know Incredible Hulk himself lives in fear and anxiety all the time, because he doesn't know when he will lose control and hurt someone, maybe even someone he loves. Today we will see from Proverbs, different verses, and see that what problems can anger, uncontrolled anger, cause, and how we can manage anger so that we will not sin and hurt other people. Before I go further, let me ask you, what is anger in humans? Give me a definition of anger. We talk about anger all the time. I bet if I ask you to define anger, you will have a hard time defining that. What is anger? Before we can learn how to cope with anger and its harmful consequences, first, understand what is anger. Just brainstorming. Put up your hand. Share with me your thoughts. What is anger? Have you experienced anger? Yes? Then what is anger, Jesse?
It's hard to define.
It is hard to define, indeed, right? What's your name? Tell me.
Toby.
Toby, yes, Toby.
An uncontrollable feeling.
Under most circumstances, it seems to be uncontrollable, but it can be controlled. I'll tell you how to control that later. It is a feeling. You're right, Toby. It is a feeling. Anger is an emotion. Anger is a feeling. I spent a lot of time just researching what is the definition of anger. And according to scientists who study anger, anger is the emotions experienced in humans when humans don't get what they think they should or must get. I deserve this, but I'm not getting it. I'm angry. When they are denied what they believe they are entitled to, that should be mine. I don't get it. I'm angry. Or when they lose control or power, it's a power struggle. In a relationship, even as a son or daughter with your parents, sometimes you want to be in control. It should not be always my parents who has a say. I want to have a say. When you lose that control, lose that power, you are angry. Such emotions often result in decreased ability to resolve problems in interpersonal relationships and increased tendency to use violence or verbal abuse. What do you think of this definition of anger?
Pretty accurate.
Pretty accurate. Thanks. It actually describes anger pretty well. Now, with a better understanding of what anger means, to help you understand anger better, let me have a pop quiz. See how many of you can get all the answers right. First, is it true that it is healthy to get your anger out by going home and taking it on a pillow, a punching bag, or axing a tree, cutting the tree? Is it true that it is healthy to do that? Toby, why not?
I don't know.
You don't know? You just know it is not right? Okay.
It's good to do it. The punching bag.
The punching bag, you think it's good to do it? Okay. You might say it's not, it's not hurting anyone, right? It is good.
Once you get more angry.
What?
If you do that, once you get more angry.
You might get more angry. And my answer to this question is, no, it is not a healthy way to get your anger out by doing something physically violently. Because you might be conditioning yourself to always react to your anger physically violently. And when there's no punching bag, no pillow, or no tree for you to cut, you might just grab whatever is around. And you might hurt someone who is closest to you. Okay? Or you don't like the room around you and you kick at it and you punch at it. Both will be broken. The second question. Is it true that anger is a sin?
No.
Yeah.
Why is anger... Oh, you say anger is a sin? I'll listen to Jason first. Why is anger not a sin?
No, I don't think it's
He was angry,
so
but
the emotion is still wanting for the right reason. And mm-hmm. like people often get angry for the right cause, you know, like if you get angry about someone that's like kind of being abusive, that anger will spark you to something straighten it out, right?
Very good. Thanks, Jason. How about Jesse? You said that anger is the sin. What's your reason?
Because the Bible says
it. Show me the Bible verse. It says that.
But I forgot what it was.
Okay. And I will show you that, actually, anger by itself, it is not sin. But how you express your anger, that can cause sin. Jesus Christ was angry for the right reason. Last time we talked about hating sin, hating evil, and that is the right thing to do. But hating evil and what you do after that can be sinful as well. If you hate evil and then you beat up someone who is evil, then that's not right, because you should love even the evil person, although you should hate evil. Of course, Jesus, in his holiness, righteousness, he could not stand any evil and sin. And he had a good reason why in the house of prayer that he drove out all these people who were corrupting God's house of prayer. And those people were so stubborn, he had to use that method to teach them a lesson. And that is not sin. Another question. Is it true that anger comes from Satan, the devil? What's the source of anger? True or false? I don't need you to give me the reason, just say yes or no. Is it true that anger is from the devil, from Satan?
Not always.
Not always. Sometimes. I'm talking about the origin of anger in the beginning. The answer is that it is not from Satan. For God created man with a sense of justice. And that justice, meaning when you see something that is wrong in God's eyes, you hate it, you are angry, that produces anger. So God created that sense of justice in us that can cause us to be angry. So God created that. Although Satan can take advantage of that and mislead us by giving us the wrong conception of what is wrong and what is right, and then we respond to that in the wrong way, causing sin. See, it's tricky. Sin, anger itself is neutral, created by God. But Satan can mislead us when we are angry. Then is anger good? Is anger a good thing? Is it good or bad?
It depends on how you look at it.
That's good. That's a good answer. Actually, anger itself is neutral. It's neither good nor bad. But how you express yourself when you are angry, it can be good or bad. And the consequences can be good or bad also. Many people say, he made me angry. She made me angry. They made me angry. Is it true that other people caused you to be angry? They made you angry. What do you think?
You can make yourself angry.
Okay. Actually, the answer is again no. Because anger is an emotional feeling inside. Someone cannot get inside of you and they'll make you angry. There's a deeper cause of anger that's in your heart. So don't think that it's that person who causes me to be angry. You are responsible for the anger yourself. Then what causes anger in humans? We have to find out the reason so that we can isolate that and think about what causes me to be angry in your personal life so that you can cope with anger in your own personal way. There are many causes. It's very complicated. There are many complicated reasons to the reasons for anger. To help someone with anger problems, I would advise you to have an open mind, to first listen to that person, to analyze what's the real cause for that person's anger, because it can have physiological, medical reasons for anger. Although there are anger that can be controlled, you can help someone to cope with anger. But some people, they were born from a drug addict or drunkard. And they are already drugged when they were born, so they might have that chemical influence on them. As a result, although they try to control themselves, they cannot. Under such circumstances and other circumstances, you have to know when to look for professional help, a professional counselor, or a doctor, psychologist. Alright? So, let me tell you more facts about anger. Anger is experienced more than any other emotions like happiness or sadness, especially by young men. Young people, young men get angry all the time, although they might express that differently. Different people express anger differently, but young men experience anger a lot more than young women. Anger also lasts longer than any other emotional states. It takes 30 minutes to 40 minutes to calm down and diffuse the anger. For other emotions, it takes less time for you to calm down from that. Young men tend to feel less acceptable to feel being depressed, being sad, because of traditions. In Chinese culture, we say that men should never cry. Instead, men can shed their blood, but they should not shed their tears. As a result, under the influence of such traditions, men tend to have a stronger tendency to use violence to express their anger, because they have been taken away from them other options. Women can just cry, and then they feel much better. But men cannot cry. How should I deal with my anger?
Who cares for traditions?
If tradition doesn't help, it's not biblical. We should get rid of that. You're right. But tradition does have a great power to control people's lives. And we better know what type of traditions are not biblical, and then we use God's power to help us to counteract that. Anger also makes people feel more powerful and potent. When you are angry, you feel like you can fight any martial art champion, and you think you'll win. Because you're angry, that has a strong influence on you. That's why people get into fights when they're angry. And both usually end up being hurt. Now we have a better understanding of anger. We will look at Proverbs chapter 19. Open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 19. It will also be shown on the screen. Verse 19. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 19. We will also look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 2. We will see the consequences of uncontrolled anger. Then we will see from Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, one way to control anger. We'll learn other ways to control anger next time. It is a huge topic, and I want you to truly not only know but understand, and also be able to apply by God's power. So no rush. Today I only cover one way to control anger. Next time, few more ways. First of all, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 19 teaches us that there is penalty received by angry people. Angry people often receive penalty. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 19. A hard-tempered man must pay the penalty. If you rescue him, you will have to do it again. Let me read it again. A hard-tempered man must pay the penalty. If you rescue him, you will have to do it again. What does it mean here? It's saying that a hot-tempered person gets angry very easily and repeatedly gets himself into trouble. And he has to pay for it. In other words, a hot-tempered person never learns from his lessons. If he has a friend who is self-controlled, trying to rescue him from the penalty of his mistakes, the hot-tempered person would probably take advantage of the help, and they never learn the lesson. So that kindness will have to be repeated. The friend will have to repeatedly help this person if you take the penalty for the angry person who caused the trouble. Some of you wonder, what is this picture about? Who are they? Why do I put this picture here?
People that are drunk.
People, they are drunk? They are not drunk. Okay, let me tell you. You guys have not been watching the news. Studying too hard. Ah, that's good. They are pop stars. Very young. Pop star Chris Brown, the guy in the picture, has been in a relationship with, I don't even know exactly how to pronounce the name, Rihanna, right? Rihanna, okay. But Chris Brown has been charged with two felonies, including assault of Rihanna. If convicted, Mr. Brown can face more than 4 years behind bars in prison. It is serious. The charges stem from the early morning of February 8th, according to CNN News, when he and his girlfriend Rihanna reportedly got into a heated argument. In his car, hours before they went, they were scheduled to appear at the Grammys. What police say happened next shook the entertainment world. The Los Angeles County affidavit, a written version of a sworn statement, says that Brown gave Rihanna a vicious and continuous beating. He allegedly started by shoving Rihanna's head against the passenger window, knocking her head against the window, then punched her in the face numerous times while still driving. Okay?
Oh, man!
And he even bit a headlock of the girl's neck and even bit her finger when the girl was trying to defend herself. So nasty, huh? And the beating reportedly splattered blood on Rihanna's clothing and the car interior. You will see blood in the car. But perhaps even more shocking than that is that this is not the first time that Brown abused Rihanna. Not the first time. According to TMZ, Rihanna told the LAPD that Brown had attacked her several times in the past, and the assaults were gradually becoming more and more violent. More shocking than that, less than a month after this, Rihanna has apparently forgiven him. Amazingly, according to an unidentified source quoted by People magazine, Brown called Rihanna on her 21st birthday, and the two were united. Reunited, as if nothing happened. Aren't you amazed? You may say, I don't understand. How could she get back to such a violent man? According to a study by the Centers for Disease Control, 5.3 million women are abused annually in the United States. An American Bar Association survey found out that about 1 out of 4 American women are raped or physically assaulted by a current or former partner at some time in their lifetime. What should the society do? I think our society should stop this cycle of helplessness that traps these abused women. We must give them the help they need to escape the abusive spiral. It's like a vicious cycle keeps going. But women must also begin holding their loved ones to a zero tolerance policy when it comes to violence. Even one punch, sorry, you have to end the relationship. Cannot be in the same house again. Unlike Rihanna, who immediately accepted her boyfriend even after being abused in such a severe way. That's why Proverbs chapter 19 verse 19 says that a hot-tempered man must pay the penalty. If you rescue him, if Rihanna decides not to persecute him, you know what? It's going to happen, maybe more severely, and he might kill her. If you rescue him, you will have to do it again. What are the penalties that a hot-tempered man will have to pay after uncontrolled anger? Can you think of some penalty to a hot-tempered man, uncontrolled, hurting someone? What would be the penalties waiting for this man or even woman? Toby. Also he will feel sad after he has done that. Even feel sorry about that, right? Okay, that can be one of the penalties. But it can be in the form of monetary fine or imprisonment. If that person is persecuted and there are strong, clear evidences to prove that, or loss of someone who loves him in a relationship. Loneliness. Who wants to be with angry people all the time? Nobody wants to be with angry people. Angry people will end up being very lonely at last. No friends around, just living by themselves. To death. Anger also destroys health. Blood surges in the heart and creates plague in the arteries when someone is angry. Angry people are more prone to heart attack and ulcers. These are the penalties to uncontrolled anger. Not only hurting other people, but also hurting the person who is angry. See, uncontrolled anger has severe consequences. But there is also penalty received by provokers. People who make other people angry are often also punished in a way or have to suffer as well. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 2 says that a king's wrath is like the roar of a lion. He who angers him forfeits his life. A king's wrath is like the roar of a lion. He who angers him forfeits his life. It's dangerous to anger a ruler who has power to kill you, to decide whether you live or die. But in fact, making anyone angry may pose problems. From other reports about the Rihanna beating case, it was found out that the cause of this violence was that it was triggered when Rihanna found out from Brown's cell phone text messages showing that Brown was still in a relationship with his ex-girlfriend. And Rihanna was really mad, really angry. And then they got into a heated argument. Obviously, they did not know how to communicate without raising their voice, and it became a more and more heated argument. And finally, Rihanna threw away the cell phone that further made Brown angry and started the beating. But couldn't that beating be avoided if Rihanna acted a little differently, maybe? And they were still driving while they were having that heated argument and fighting with each other. That's very dangerous. I think they should be thankful that they're still alive, because they could have gotten into a crash, car crash, and both be killed.
Did they get a ticket?
Huh?
Did they get a ticket?
Did they get a ticket? That I'm not sure, because they are not like drunk driving. They're just angry driving itself. So maybe the law should also prohibit anger driving, because it can also cause accidents. When a woman is angry at a man in a relationship, what does the woman do? She typically uses her mouth to speak offensive words to upset and attack the man, because that's what she's good at. Women are very good with speech, better than men, okay? And it's very easy for them to do that. And it really can get onto the man's nerve. But when a man is angry at a woman, he typically uses his fist to stop the source of annoyance, because that's what he is good at, and that is the easiest thing for him to do. But the result is that the man is often being punished because of the violence that will be punished by law. But you know what? The women will often also unnecessarily receive a penalty because of unwisely provoking an angry man into further anger that will cause violence. If only the woman could have used words wisely without provoking further anger, maybe some violence would have been avoided. Why did God create us with a mouth? Why do we have the mouth? To speak words, right? But also to praise God. to communicate with each other, to build up each other. That's the main reason that we have a mouth and that we can speak also with the tongue. So please do not misuse your mouth, your tongue, to use that to attack people, to provoke people to anger, because you yourself will also receive the penalty. It might be very serious. Rihanna is lucky this time. I hope she will grow wiser through this and not get into a more violent incident that she might lose her knife. Now we look at the picture is for Hannah after she was being beaten and already recovered a little bit. You see her lips were cracked and there were scars on her head, maybe because she was bumped in onto the window of passenger seat. Okay? Anger management number one. How do we deal with an angry person, or when we are angry, how do we deal with it? Number one, gentle answer. Gentleness is what you need to deal with anger. According to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Why? Because a gentle answer softens and stops a person's wrath. But it takes more than just the outside gentle words to restore true peace when there is conflict because someone is angry. You also need to think ahead of time. You also need patience. You need self-control and nerve when you are dealing with someone who is angry and you do not want to provoke that person to further more serious anger that will cause aggressive behavior or violence. A harsh word, by contrast, arouses rather than dissolves anger. How can we have gentleness? How can we have gentleness? As believers of Jesus Christ, here's the good news. We all have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. According to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is, nine aspects of the fruit of Spirit is mentioned. One of that is gentleness. So if someone lives by the Holy Spirit, what does that mean? That means continue prayer. To ask for the Holy Spirit to help you after you have become a believer of Jesus Christ. Whenever, 24/7, all the time, pray to God in your heart if you have an anger issue, or you are afraid that you might get into the anger issue. Pray that God will give you gentleness, will give you the capacity to deal anger in a healthy way when it comes. An author for Reader's Digest writes how he studied the Amish people in preparation for an article on them. Amish people are members of U.S. Protestant group. They're members of a Protestant group who migrated from Europe to the United States and Canada in the 18th century. The Amish seek to maintain a way of life based on the Bible. In his observation at the schoolyard, he noticed that the children never screamed or yelled. This amazed him. He spoke to the schoolmaster. And the schoolmaster commented after the author remarked how he had not even once heard an Amish child yell. The schoolmaster replied, "Well, have you ever heard an Amish adult yell?" Huh. The reason why the kids don't scream and yell is because their parents don't scream and yell. What adults do and parents do have a huge impact on the children, all of you. Before children's brains are fully developed, they cannot tell all the time what is right and what is wrong, because that part of the brain is not developed yet. They often act on their impulses like animals do. That's a part of the brain too. When the reasoning part is not well developed, right and wrong part is not developed, they will act on their impulses like animals do. When they're in fear, they react in a way that will try to protect themselves that often results in anger and then violence. Children need to learn from good examples of how to deal with angry emotions. If you are a Christian parent, father or mother, I advise you to continually ask the Holy Spirit to help you to be gentle, never yell at your husband or your wife. Never yell at your kids. There are better ways to communicate with kids than yelling at them. You know what? If you yell at them, they're going to yell at others, maybe yell at you. Then when the kids are grown up, they will have formed a good habit to deal with anger instead of yelling or using physical violence. There are better ways to deal with anger, more healthily. Then you should help your children to become believers of Jesus Christ. Then the Holy Spirit will always be there to help your children when they are grown up to consistently be gentle, even in anger. Nobody wants to end up like the Incredible Hulk. But I see some hope at the end of last year's Incredible Hulk, the movie. When the Incredible Hulk was angry, he again transformed, and military people were trying to hunt him down, but Bruce had a girlfriend, and the girlfriend loved him very much, and the girlfriend was very gentle. And in her gentleness and love, she was able to help the angry Hulk to be re-transformed back to the human form, as in the picture here. You know what? We all have the Holy Spirit, who is there 24/7 to also help us to control our anger, to have gentleness even in anger. We don't need to suppress that, but we can express that in a gentle way without hurting anyone. Let me give you some practical suggestions to help someone in anger. If you have an angry friend, or you are with someone who is angry, here are the things that I suggest you do, and some of the things you better not do, okay? Because it might result in violence. First, stay calm and prayerful. Ask God for wisdom and love to help the angry person, the first thing. But you should not say, "Calm down, calm down," ask the person to calm down, because that's the next thing that person wants to hear when that person is in anger. That person wants someone to understand him, okay? So you should try to identify with the anger by saying something like that: "Wow, it looks like you're really angry." See, that person already knows that, oh, there's someone who see that, who understand that I am angry. And that person might be more willing to talk to you. Then sit down and talk to that person gently and help the person identify what is causing the anger. Anger is like a pyramid. On top you see the anger. Under that you see often hurt pride or hurt feelings. And further down that there is often an unmet need or fear. So you need to ask for godly wisdom to analyze what is causing that person to be so angry. Then find an argument you can agree with. "Oh, sounds like your teacher is really unfair. See, he complained about his teacher. He's really angry at his teacher." And through his sharing, you can give a comment that's reasonable. "Yeah, sounds like your teacher is really unfair." So it further shows that you understand his feelings.
Or at least pretending to.
Don't pretend, okay? If you understand it, you say it. If you don't understand it, don't say it. Or you have sinned. You have become hypocritical. Right? As people who want to help other people, as Christians, we don't want to be hypocritical by helping others. Does that make sense? Also, allow them to express their grievances. Ask them to write it down if they cannot express it in words, orally. Write it down. What are the things that are upsetting you? And then ask, what can be done? to help you to solve this problem, to resolve your anger. But you should help that person see the consequences of each action that he is planning to do. You should respond to them selectively. If that person says that, "I just want to beat up the teacher," you say, "No, you cannot do that because there's a severe consequence to that." But there are other things that he can do. You tell that person, affirm with him that this is okay, you can do this. You can go further with some evidence. Explain the situation to your teacher. I can even go with you if needed. Lastly, call for backup or security. If that person is totally uncontrollable, you don't have to fix the situation. It might be beyond your capacity to fix it. Know when to refer that person to a professional or pick up the phone to call the police or family member. If he insists that he is going to beat up the teacher or do something violent, you better tell the police before it happens. Here are the things that you should not do. Don't use humor initially. That person is really angry and he cracked up a joke. What would that person do? I don't know. That person would be even more confused, okay? So don't crack up a joke when that person is really angry. Although the joke can come at a later time when that person has already calmed down, okay? Don't stand between the person and the door, saying that if you don't talk with me, you're not going to get out of this room. It will make that angry person feel more stressed and might beat you up. Okay? And don't maintain extensive eye contact with that person all the time. In the case of road rage, gangsters, if you even look at them, they will kill you or do something harmful to you. So eye contact, be very wise how you use it. Okay? Stand next to the person, rather facing that person face to face, square off with that person, because that's a power stance, like a confrontational stance when you're standing face to face to that person, especially with a guy. But standing next to that person, you know, even guys sometimes who just want to cry, they express their anger, that besides using violence, but you look at them, they feel not comfortable to cry. So if you sit next to them, they might feel comfortable, more comfortable to express their true feelings in a healthier way. Also, when they are yelling, don't talk to them when they are yelling. They are not going to listen to you when they are yelling, okay? Be wise. Know when to talk, when to listen. Don't turn your back towards an angry person. That person can attack you. But don't be defensive when you're talking to that person. You should show your understanding instead of, "I'm just trying to make sure I won't be hurt. You know, I'm not really trying to help you." So it takes a lot of wisdom, see, to help someone who is angry. Don't touch them. They might feel that you're going to attack them. Their natural response will be to hit you. Allow extra physical space. Allow the person to save face and give that person a way out so that person will not feel embarrassed. Help him wisely. Let me close by reading from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. It says that, "In your anger..." David, you have a question?
What if the angry person has a gun or a weapon?
Actually, run away, call the police, okay? So, that's... you know, something that you want,
if
you don't want to, you know, get involved in.
If he manages to attack you on the way?
Then again, that person is not ready to talk. That person has a gun, has a knife, that person is going to, most likely, to use it. So, under those situations, you have to call the police, professional people to help you. Okay? So even if you have learned how to take away people's knives and guns, I have learned that, but I would not try it if that person is very far away, because within only a certain range of distance, I can do that, but when that person is too far away, that's too risky. Okay? So, let me read from this verse to close it. "In your anger, do not sin." See, you can be angry and do not sin. "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Resolve it instead of suppressing it. Resolve it healthily. And do not give the devil a foothold that will result in sin. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we know this night is full of challenges, full of injustices, and things that are unfair. But sometimes it might just be our perception. Because of our sinful nature, we might perceive things wrongly, incorrectly, or we might have interpreted things incorrectly. And in those situations, we often become angry, and that's a emotion that makes us feel uncomfortable. I just pray that in those situations, God, for all those who have believed in Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit will help them, and they will be willing to let your Holy Spirit help them to be gentle, to calm down, and then be reasonable, how to face the situation that seems unfair. I just pray that you will give each one of us wisdom to help those who are in anger. Not that we will take their sins penalty that would further encourage them to do it again, but we'd be wise to help them, let them learn their lesson, at the same time show that we want to help. At the same time, let us be wise with our words. Let us use our words correctly. Let us not use our words to provoke someone to anger and that will result in violence. Let us be wise. Let us use our words to always to praise God and to build up people in this hurting world. I just pray that each one of us will learn this lesson, how to walk by the Spirit, to be gentle even in anger. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.